Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
So the title today is About Anything in Everything. About anything in everything. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 in our Bibles, verses 4-9. Now, many people, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you would know this scripture, something we all hold dearly and love in the Word of God. This is Paul speaking. This is your captain speaking. This is Paul speaking. Verses 4-9 says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote half of the New Testament. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. But at this point that he's writing this to the church in Philippi that he had planted, he was actually in prison. For doing the Lord's work, he was in prison, he was in chains, and he was writing to the Philippians, encouraging them, strengthening them. They were going through suffering, they were going through persecution for what they believed. There was a lot of conflict even within the church. And Paul writes to them, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known by everyone around you. Your gentleness, it says in other versions, let it be evident to all. There was things happening where they could have retaliated. The Philippians could have been retaliating, but he was saying to them, be gentle, be reasonable. Let people outside the church see that. You don't have to do it like how the world does it. And he says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. You know, when I think about being anxious, just a few weeks ago, it's funny how you can just be having a normal day, everything's going well, before you know it. I just left the car at the car garage to get serviced in the morning. I'd gone for a run, had my quiet time, I'm working hard from home. And I was hoping to get a call from the car company to say, hey, your car's ready. I'm thinking they're going to call me early so I can go get the car. The call comes really early. I'm thinking, oh, here we go. This is awesome. Oh, Mr. Alphine, your car needs 4 new tires. I'm thinking, man, you quoted me like $450. What's this extra stuff? Your car needs new brake pads. Your car needs a new door latch. And the list just kept going, man. I just went from having a good day to like my heart rate is just like, I'm thinking, man, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? I was just freaking out. Anyone else ever feel that way? You're just having a good day and then anxiety just kicks in. You know, being anxious is this feeling of uneasiness where your chest starts to feel a bit tight. Your heart starts to race. You're worrying about something. You're stressing about something. And it's usually things that we actually can't control. But we actually feel like we need to do something and we can't do something. So we start to stress. that uneasy feeling. All you guys know what I'm talking about. There's usually a fear in that of an outcome that is uncertain because you don't know what's going to happen. The Bible shows us in so many different places that we will be anxious. Talks about anxiety, being anxious. Jesus talks about it. He says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Do not be anxious about what you will eat, what you will drink. Look at the lilies, look at the flowers. God dresses them. Look at the birds of the air. God feeds them. He says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has worries of its own. See, Paul here, when he says, do not be anxious, even before he starts saying that, he gives alternatives to anxiety. He gives alternatives to being anxious. He says, rejoice always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness, your reasonableness be known by those around you. He gives us alternatives. And why go for the alternatives? It's all as a result of the Lord being at hand, the Lord being with us, the Lord being near. He said, the Lord is at hand, so do not be anxious. Jesus said, I will be with you always. God says through the word, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So, do not be anxious. What's the anything in your life? He says, do not be anxious about anything. What could be the anything in your life that you're anxious about, that you could be anxious about? You might be all good right now, but anything can happen at any point, tomorrow, next week, and you start to feel anxious. It could be many things, but actually every time we get anxious, can I suggest that it's because we're looking at the situation through our own eyes and we're relying on ourselves? So we get anxious because we're actually relying on ourselves. We're trying to handle it. Do not be anxious. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But what does he say we're to do? He says, pray. Pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray. Through prayer and supplication. Supplication? What's supplication? Supplication is prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication. Go to the supplier. God is the supplier. God is the source. Stop trying to do it by yourself. As soon as you start to get anxious, pray. I love one guy says, pray is like P-R-A-Y. The P is pause. When you start to get anxious, pause. When you start to get anxious, the R in pray is rejoice. Start to rejoice in who God is. The A is ask, ask, ask God. And the Y is yield, yield to Him. Supplication. The word supplication actually means earnest prayer. Praying earnestly. Praying humbly. You're actually humbling yourself. Oh, I can't. You're getting anxious because you can't handle it by yourself. So you go to the one who is the source, who is the supplier, and you pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. There's no limit there. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, a bit of attitude of gratitude. When you start to pray, you actually say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you've done it before. You can do it again. Because when you start thanking God for what He's done and who He is, He starts to show you that He will come through for you. So we've got to come to God in prayer with thanksgiving. See, towards the end of last year, I started to know what anxiety really is for myself. Because I'd hear people say, oh man, I'm anxious. I'm just like, dude, what are you talking about? Just give it to the Lord. But most of you know my mom's got Alzheimer's and she's only 60, early onset Alzheimer's. So for the first 10 years that I was here in Australia, I've been here for 20 years. My parents didn't come to visit much. We would go to to Zimbabwe every 2 years, 3 years, go visit my parents. But then in the last 10 years, was when we've had kids, since we had Isaiah and Zach, they've been coming almost every year. And then so I hadn't been to Zim for like 10 years. But then we got to a point with my mom where she would come visit with my dad. And the one time she got lost for like 5 hours, she just ran off on my dad. They were just here in Coburg visiting us. Someone was running. She started running with him, and we couldn't find her for 5 hours. And then they went to the UK for a few months, and she got lost twice. But in that same year, they were coming back for Christmas. Now, all my siblings started to freak out. How can they be coming back again when all this stuff is happening? The responsibility of looking after her, and is this safe for mum? And I started to get really anxious, because what we were coming to was to a point of having to say to my mum and dad, mum can't travel anymore. She can't get on the plane for 15 hours, walk around the plane, putting people's socks on, going missing on the plane, dad not being able to sleep, coming here where she doesn't know which way is which, and having to track her. Why doesn't she just stay home? She's got full-time care, and maybe now we need to start visiting. But for me, that was a big thing to start that conversation, to even think of that conversation, because it felt like I was saying to my mum, mum, I'm rejecting you. Mum, you can't come anymore. It was so heavy. I remember sitting on this bed just going, what do I do with this? And God brought wisdom. God brought wisdom in that. But I felt so anxious. I'm like, people talk about panic attacks and all. I couldn't relate to it until then. I didn't have a panic attack, but it was so, so heavy. Do not be anxious about anything. In everything, we're not to be anxious, but what are we to do? It says, but by prayer and supplication, praying earnestly, humbly. Other versions say prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So in that moment, I'm like, Lord, I thank you. Mom has been able to come and visit us so many times. Lord, I thank you that mom's still alive, because growing up, I used to freak out. She died at 40 because her mom died at 40, but now she's 60. I'm saying, Lord, thank you. So I was thanking him with prayer and petition. Lord, thank you. But it says, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This is the alternative. Present your requests to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your requests to God. Turn your worries into prayers. Turn your worries into prayers. Imagine that. If you turned all your worries into prayers, man, you'd have nothing left for you to do. Because when we work, we work. But when we pray, he works. And yeah, he works through us, but it's like, what have you got left to do? Because God is doing it through you. He's doing the work. So turn your prayers into worries? No, turn your worries into prayers. You guys are listening this morning. Present your request to God. Do you want to worry less? So pray more. If you want to worry less, pray more. Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. It's that simple. It's not going to get any deeper than that today, guys. Because if you can get that, watch what God does. Watch what he gives you out of that. You know, with that car thing, as I was on the phone talking to this person, I just started praying quietly whilst I'm talking to them. I'm freaking out, but I'm praying. But I had to come to a place where I just calmed myself down. And I actually said, thanks, mate. I still need my car today. So I'll pick up my car, and can I come get that stuff fixed later on? They're like, yeah, sure thing. Oh, how serious is it? You know, if they say, yeah, you can come pick up your car and fix it later. But anyway, I did that. But I could have really freaked out and, do that. And then have this massive bill. But God, as I paused, God gave me wisdom. As I prayed, God gave me wisdom. Present your requests to God. Think about anxiety and prayer. Being anxious. Anxiety and prayer are so opposite. They're way more opposite than fire and water. Fire and water are so opposite. But anxiety and prayer are way more opposite than that. See, if you start to pray, God will deal with that feeling of anxiousness. But if you're just going to stay anxious and you're not going to pray, we get stuck in those places. We will get stuck in our fear. It says, present your requests to God. We are to make our requests known to God. But doesn't God already know? Why tell him what he already knows? Like, seriously, Lord, you already know what I'm stressing about. You know what I need. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety onto God because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your burdens unto God because he cares. You see, God knows what you're going through. God knows what you need, but he is your Father. And when you pray and you ask, you're actually acknowledging that you need him. You're actually inviting him in to provide for that need that you have. He won't move unless you move, unless you ask. It shows dependence on God when we pray. We are to let our requests be made known to God. See, I was looking at that, let your request be known. I'm like, what's a request? I'm just like really trying to think into it. And what I was getting for myself, this is not what the word is saying, but what I was getting from God in the Holy Spirit that moment was that a quest is a long search for something. A quest is a long search for something. But when we present our request to God, we're actually making him the one that we're searching for. We're bringing the things that we're searching for and coming to the one who knows it all. But as you do that, you're actually now searching for him. Not just his hand, but for him. So when I come to God with my request and I change the focus of my search, what I get in exchange is him. And he's given us everything through Jesus Christ. So when we're just focusing, oh, I'm stressed about this, I need that, our eyes easily go off God and we look at the thing. It's like when you get a call from a teacher from the high school that your child's been caught doing drugs. Or you get a call that your teenage child has been sent to jail or in prison. Like, what do? The heart rate goes up, but God is there with you. So when anxiety comes, when you start to worry, what will you do? When that news comes, do you just get stuck in it? Or do you actually pray and present your request to God? And what does he do when we present our request to him? It says that the peace of God, it's not just the peace as the world knows the peace, it's the peace of God. So in exchange for your request, God actually gives you peace. So you present your request to him, what you're struggling with, what you need, what you're stuck in, what you've been trying to do, what's not getting resolved, about anything and everything. It doesn't matter what it is. I can't tie my shoelace. Give that to him. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how big it is. In exchange for your request, he gives you peace. See, peace is this inner sense of contentment that only comes from God. An inner sense of contentment. It's God's peace. God's peace. See, God's peace that transcends, that surpasses all understanding. That's what it is. Even when you don't have that peace, it's still a peace that transcends and surpasses all understanding. God doesn't need you for his peace to be that. That's what it is. It's only when we actually go to God and present our request that he gives us that peace. So we have to present our requests. Looking at him gives you peace. But looking at your problem will give you anxiety. What are you looking at? You see, it doesn't mean you don't notice your problems. I'm not saying be in denial. When Jesus in Matthew 6 talks about, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about what you eat, about what you'll wear. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, will be given unto you. It's about what are you looking to first? What are you deferring to all the time? What will you magnify? Who will you magnify? What will you magnify? See, if I have a magnifying glass, just because I put something on a magnifying glass on something, it's not going to make it any bigger, but it's going to change how I see it. It will change how you see it. You see, when we magnify the Lord, when we focus on God and we say who he is and we thank him, we're magnifying him with our own vision and with our spiritual eyes. But he's already big. He's already bigger than we can ask or imagine. But as we look at him, as we set our gaze on him, we start to see him as he is, as he truly is. We start to see through his eyes. So you start to see your problem, your issue, your disease, your condition, your broken marriage, your broken family, whatever you think has been a failure and disappointment, you start to see through his eyes. And you start to see all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the same chapter, Paul talks later on about, I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to have little. But I have learnt the secret of being content in every season. So he knows this stuff is real. But who will you magnify? As you magnify God, you'll see as he sees. But if you put that magnifying glass on your problem, what's going to happen? You're going to see that thing as huge, as a big, hairy problem, like massive. You can't do nothing about it. You focus on that thing so much, where you've been broken, where you've been hurt, and you feel like nothing can solve it because you're just focusing so much on it. So who will you magnify? What will you magnify? That's going to change whether you're going to get anxious, get stuck in anxiety, or whether actually you're going to receive the thing that God has for you when you give him your request. You present your request to him, and in exchange, he gives you peace. Peace that transcends all understanding. This is available for everyone. No matter how big or serious your problem is, God has an exchange available for you and I. In exchange for your request, he actually gives you himself. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's God's Son. The God of Peace has a Son, and his name is Jesus. We've been given the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. You know, we have Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So when you present your request to God, he gives you his peace. Everything in Jesus Christ. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he was sharing about how he had these panic attacks, how he had to sell a business, how he's on medication, how he was so anxious it was affecting his marriage, but he's had to change his life around. He's doing well now, but he's still on medication. He loves the Lord. God's healed him. God's healing him. He's still going through the process. Who knows? When we get into an intense, extreme case of anxiety, we need to see counselors. We need to see doctors. We partner with professional help as pastors, as Christians. We talk to others about it. So I'm talking to this guy about his situation, and I'm thinking, man, where does God come in this? I'm like, how does the peace of God that transcends all understanding help you in this situation? He said, bro, I held onto that verse through that whole time. He said, I had days where I couldn't sleep for 36 hours, 48 hours, days I couldn't eat. But I still hung onto that scripture. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And he said, God got me through it. And God's still holding me now. It's not just about going to the doctors or just about going to the words. God is in all of it. In exchange for your request, he gives you peace. God's peace is available to you about anything and in. So do not be anxious about anything. For some of you right now, you're like, man, I got no stress. Things can change in the moment of time. And God, through his word, gives us a weapon. A weapon. And the battle, where the battle is fought and where the battle is won, is in the mind. This stuff is all in the mind. But the good thing is that actually we have the mind of peace. We have the mind of peace. Do not be anxious. Present your request to God. In exchange, God will give you peace. You have the mind of peace. Why do I say you have the mind of peace? Because in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we're told we have the mind of Christ. And who is Christ? The Prince of Peace. The God of peace. So we've already got it. We can get stuck in anxiety and worry, but we've already got it. We have the mind of Christ. So is peace supposed to be something that we're always in, like a default? I'm just peaceful all the time because I have the mind of Christ? Or is it something that you actually have to appropriate? You actually have to take. You actually have to take that step. You actually have to choose. See, there's so many things fighting for the attention of our minds, the attention of our time, that even though we have the mind of Christ, we forget. It gets flooded. What are you listening to? What are you watching? Who are you talking to? What conversations are you in? Are you reading the word? Are you hearing from God? It all happens in the mind. It starts as a thought. It starts from being a thought. Where did the thought come from? Well, what did you watch? What did you listen to? Who spoke into your life? What are you entertaining? It starts as a thought. Next thing, it comes out of your mouth. You're like, where did those words come from? Or next thing, you're doing certain things that you didn't really intend to initially, but because of what you're feeding your mind with. It goes from thought to action. Then it goes from action to a habit. I don't know how, why am I being addicted to this thing? But it's like, why is it happening? Because it all started in the mind. So it starts in the mind, but we've got the mind of Christ. So we've got to watch what we listen to, watch what we're talking about. Because a lot of anxiety comes from those things that we get, that we're watching, that we let in. It just doesn't happen. The reactions will come from what you're letting come into your mind. Anxiety does not have to be your permanent address. Doesn't have to be your default. Doesn't have to be what you go to each time you start to stress about something, get stuck in it for days. You have the mind of Christ. You know, with my mum, thank God for a good wife. She encouraged me to talk to all my siblings about the decision we're thinking of making about don't travel anymore. It meant she was never going to come to Australia again. And old little Stevie here is going to say to Dad, think about this or do this. So I got together with my siblings. And it was one of those things that had to be done now because they were coming in a few weeks. It had to be done now. So you just imagine how consuming that can be. There was no time to try make sure everyone gets together. We just got on Zoom. Thank the Lord for Zoom. And as we got there, we all got our different points of view. We're all feeling anxious in different ways. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer. So I said, hey guys, let's pray before we start. Because you know what it's like when you have family meetings? It can get real nasty. No one's holding back. So hey guys, let's start with prayer because everyone's feeling it. We all feel bad. We all feel like our parents are like thousands of miles away. and they're paying for their own flights to come in, we're going to be like, don't do that. So anyway, we prayed. We all just shared our feelings. There was tears, there was arguments, there was this, there was that. But we all came to a peaceful conclusion. Then we're able to talk to my dad about it. And that was tough in itself, but my mom's not traveling anymore. She's being well taken care of. But the peace that came with that, it does transcend all understanding. And you know, I hadn't been to Zimbabwe for 10 years for different reasons. We almost went in 2020, but then COVID happened, so we didn't get to go. But now it was like, well, if mum can't come, we've got to go. And man, it costs a lot of money. And so we were going to have to save up for a while. We thought months and months and months and go as a family. But God, the God of peace, who shows up when you pray, when you put things in his hands, out of nowhere, he provided. And I ended up getting to go see my mum earlier this year and spent a quality 7 days with her all by myself and had great time with her that I hold on to. So God is the one who's the supplier, who's the source, who will make a way where there seems to be no way. I would have not dreamt of going home all by myself, but he just worked it out that way. But you see, we can pray, but it's not enough to just pray, is it? You can pray and have a bit of peace, but then the situation's real. You still got to make decisions. You still got to act it out. But what I love is that in verse 8, Paul says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So what are you going to think about after you get that peace? Verse 9, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." He says, as you practice these things that Paul's taught, that the word teaches, it says it's then that the God of peace will be with you. So we can pray as much as we want, but we actually got to practice some things. We got to practice the word of God. You got to practice what's rejoicing to you. What does that look like? What's being gentle? What's prayer look like? What's supplication look like? What's thanksgiving look like? What's thinking, things that are excellent, honorable, things that of God look like? You've actually got to walk it out, because it says when you practice as a continuing thing, that's when the God of peace will be with you. That's where the peace comes from. The peace of the Lord. Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Let's go to John 14:27. John 14:27. This is Jesus. He's given us his peace, Jakey. I had missed calls from Jake yesterday. I'm thinking, oh, Jake, he's leading worship tomorrow. My anxiety started going up because I'm thinking, I'm not leading worship tomorrow. Thank God it wasn't about that. But that's how simple it can get. And it was such a little thing, but it could become a big thing. 14:27, John says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus gives us peace. So we have a reason to rejoice, and that's Jesus. We have the Prince of Peace. We're to come to him about anything and in everything. Just think today, what's that anything and everything? What are you leaving out of God's hands? What are you not giving to God? What are you not praying about? What are you trying to do by yourself? Don't be anxious. Present your request to God. In exchange, he'll give you peace. You have the mind of peace. Let's all stand this morning. See, the word even says in Proverbs 23, verse 7 in the New King James Version, it says, as a man, as a woman thinketh, so is he. See, how we think is so powerful. How we think is how we see, is how we see ourselves. As you see yourself, people will see you. As you think, that will result in your actions. So how you think is so important. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us the mind of Christ. You have given us the mind of peace, Lord. We want to step again into that this morning. Lord, you know everyone's situation today. You know what people have been through. You know what people are working through. And Lord, you know what's coming. He knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. He says, do not fret. I know what's coming. But just stay in a position where you can hear from me, where you can hear from him, because he is the God of peace. And as you pray, you position yourself to be directed by him. As you come with thanksgiving, you go, son, daughter, I can give you more. I can do more through you. So do not be anxious. Present your request to God. He's got an exchange available for you and for me. Turn your worries into prayers. Step into that mind that you have. Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 3 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, if you've been raised with Christ in this place, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Let's get this. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We get so stuck in our day-to-day. Distractions will come. Things will happen that will try and get your mind off the Lord, your face off the Lord, your eyes off the Lord. But it says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. What are you setting your mind on? For you have died. You have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. We have died. Your life is hidden. It's hidden with Christ in God. So God will guard your heart. God will guard your mind. This morning, if you're going through anything where you go, my peace has been getting stolen and I need to experience his peace, I just invite you to come to this altar, this carpet, and experience his peace as some of our team pray for you, as some of our team lead us in worship. I just invite you, if you're battling with anything in your mind where you're losing sleep, you're losing peace, you're losing focus, and you know you've been anxious, and you know there's something in your life that if it pops up again in the next 3 days, you're just going to get so anxious, you're just going to get distracted. If you need more of the peace of God, I invite you in this moment as we worship to peacefully just come to the front and worship him. And if you're not going to come to the front, I just implore you to just be praying for people, for people's minds. Be praying that an exchange, there's an exchange that is available this morning. See, things don't always have to be wild for God to move. But God wants to exchange whatever you're going through with peace. So let's start to pray for that peace, and let's worship, and let's come up to the front and just come in prayer, in thanksgiving and supplication, and let's magnify his name together. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.